The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to The Weekend Podcast. I'm joined by Peter and Steve. You're all right, lads? Paddy's, I don't know what Paddy's doing. You're all right, lads?
Yes, hello.
He's happy lingering about. He's, yeah, happy Halloween. Fair play, Steve. Yeah. Round of applause for Steve there. Did you see the Twitch live disco?
I watched Steve's
Halloween Twitch. Lockdown disco. I don't know what's the title of it, Steve. I don't know, it's a long-winded title. Excellent costume here, skeleton. And in fact, you did a preview. Megan watched the preview on Facebook. Of course, now you've now been shifted off, booted off to Twitter because to Twitch. Mm-hmm. I mean, and Megan was watching that thing. That was part of it. You did a preview, didn't you? And she was sending you messages, thinking that was part of it. She thought you were live. And Monty was saying, "Talk to him." And then so he said, "Oh, no, it's not till 7." And so Monty and Fred went upstairs, play Fortnite, and they went to do Monty's medication stuff. And he said, "Is Steve on yet? Is Steve on yet? Is Steve on?" He's like so excited by it, unbelievable. And then Steve can fair play. You've lost a bit of weight, Steve. Go.
Do you know what? You said that in the thing, and I literally clicked about an hour later because I actually looked at myself and I thought, bones.
Yeah, no, Steve was just. I said, during lockdown, most people put on weight, but Steve, he's all skin and bones. Look at him, he's like no skin. But do you know what made me laugh at that costume?
Did you explain that he was dressed as a skeleton?
Yeah, dressed as a very good skeleton, I thought, during his disco. I'd like to say, a fair play, Steve. The thing that made me laugh is like Eric Morecambe. Do you remember Eric Morecambe used to pretend to do a secret drinking behind his arm? Steve, he was drinking alcohol, he used to raise his arm, lift his arm up to drink. Steve, with that costume, couldn't really drink. So he'd turn around, pull the jaw down on the skeleton, and sneak in his swig of booze, then turn around and carry on like he shouldn't be drinking. You know, it's like, I kept making me laugh that, but there we are. The family's all dancing. Once we dragged Fred off Fortnite, we were all dancing with last, actually, in the living room.
And then it was very good, Steve. Yeah, well done.
Excellent. But Steve, it looks like England are going to be joining you in lockdown now. Have you seen that news? They always do this. They always leak it first. It says on the BBC and Sun and the Mirror, they put it out via a leak first to get people used to it. And they say the PM is considering an England lockdown next week. It could be for a month because deaths could reach 4,000 a day, they reckon. Stay at home. You can go to school. You can still do school and colleges, universities exempt. But everyone else is locked down. Now, my thing, do you know what, I changed my mind a little bit in the week, because I read about these NHS staff from the first wave, and a lot of them have been psychologically hit badly by it, and they don't want to go back to ICU. And so they're saying, you know, and this next wave will be worse because they can't put off other operations next time. Last time, a lot of people almost died, did die due to a lack of cancer operations and all this stuff and treatment. And so they can't do that this time. So there will be less capacity than last time. Even though they didn't fill up the Nightingale hospitals this time, they'll have to use those, but they'll have to use the real hospitals for other stuff as well. And there's just the stuff. If you read some of these personal accounts from NHS staff, it is. And I'm of the thought that don't lock us all down. You know, shield the vulnerable till we get a vaccine. We all have to work, get the economy working. But I read these personal accounts and I thought, okay, you've got to protect the NHS still because those guys are suffering. And do you know what came through? One of them said, we appreciate people clapping for us, but do you know what? We would have liked a pay rise more than what the MPs got,
because we're working so hard.
People could have said, I couldn't sleep. This one person kept saying, you're still seeing a psychiatrist now because they're in ICU helping people, but they were still dying. And the thing is, you try your best, you work your hardest, and people are still dying, so nothing you can do. I literally went to bed at night, and I couldn't sleep, first of all. When I did go to sleep, I had really bad dreams, like a month. And so it's a massive strain on the NHS, psychologically as well, for staff. And so you've got to see that side of it. And I know there are people shouting, don't lock us down again. And I'm part of that shouty brigade, but you've got to see that side of it, I think. So you have to sort of protect
No, absolutely. But the question is whether the lockdown is the solution.
The thing is,
I mean, it's a pretty drastic solution of sorts. I'm not sure.
It is.
So what? And can we afford it? That's the thing.
That's it. What's going to happen is, if you lock everyone down, there will be bankruptcies, and there will be people, you know, going up. Basically, suicide rates will go up. You'll have more people in hardship. You'll have more people in poverty. You'll have, you know, more alcoholic abuse. You'll have more domestic abuse, more children abuse. You have everything. It really gets really bad. And so you have to weigh that up and say, hang on a sec. And also, you've got lack of operations for people who need them on other things like heart disease or, you know, heart bypass or cancer. So there's a massive cost to doing this. But and we're, what we've got to almost bridge that gap though between now and when the vaccine comes out, because it's not a silver bullet, I know, but it will, you know, I think sentiment will, it'll help. And once you start, did you see that basically, by the way, Albert Bouler of Pfizer. Pfizer's the lead sort of vaccine producer. He says a vaccine result is expected within a matter of weeks. He said that this week. Britain has already bought enough doses for 20 million people and is anticipating some will be available for use of the drugs before Christmas. So they reckon as soon as it's... They reckon next 2 weeks they'll know whether Pfizer... And because it's fast-tracked, the Pfizer will take the results to the FDA. The FDA will look at overall data and say, OK, we're giving this fast-track approval. And they've got already in factories ready to go, pretty much on the back of trucks, ready to go. As soon as Pfizer say yes, they're being shipped out. They've got, I think there are 100 million doses, of which Britain have 20 million. So almost within hours, they'll be shipping them out of the factory and they'll be in people within, you know, days of FDA's approval. Paddy...
Hello,
he leaves early and joins late. What is going on here, Pad?
Why doesn't it ring anymore?
Oh, right, Steve had that problem, yes. Yeah. I don't know.
Okay. What are they playing at? Microsoft?
Look, at the end of the podcast, we're going to have Paddy's pull-up debate. Because right. This week, I didn't know...
Stay tuned for that, everyone.
I've been doing this thing, right? I'm 50, right, in February, and I thought, I want to get back to... When I was 42... I
got, really
what?
To the end.
Yeah, I will. But I'm just going to give it a thing. I thought, I'll leave it at the end, but I said, I want to get back into shape, because I got to good shape when I was about 42, because I got overweight when I was 40, and I'm going to do it again for 50. I don't think I'll be able to do it for 60, so this is the last chance I'll do it. But anyway, right. I've been doing an intensive regime, but Megan sent a video of me doing pull-ups, my top off, and then Paddy said, no, that's not a pull-up. No. Anyway, so we'll get into that at the end. Paddy's pull-up. And then Paddy did a video showing us how to do a pull-up. Really slow.
It's been a great week in the WhatsApp group.
Been very mixed media content. Very good. Media rich, it's been. So I took about Pfizer anyway. So listen, I don't know if you saw that, Pad. We're going to lockdown. England are going to lockdown next week. I said it's been leaked by the press. It's in the BBCs and in tabloids. And that's the way they leak things. It'll happen. But we're just weighing up. And I see the other side of it. But
Boris said it would definitely not happen.
Yeah, I know. Well, exactly. That means it probably will happen.
Justin said it definitely wouldn't happen about 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Yeah. No, do you know what? I literally said to Pat, I don't know if you heard, I've changed my mind on that. Because I've been reading these personal accounts from people working in the NHS, and you've got to protect the NHS a little bit. And I understand there's a massive cost to the economy as well. But this is, from an investor point of view, right, I have now only got 6 stocks. I've gone down and sold stocks I don't want. I've even sold my Vanguard fund. And that's, if I advise you not to do that. That's something, like my mother would say, oh, do as I say, don't do as I do. So because if you can confer a long-term, you know, pension at the end of it, but I'm pretty much full-time in stocks and shares, so I can keep an eye on this. But I think there's, the reason why I want more cash, and I've gotten out about very close to 15, 16% cash, which is enough to top on the 6 stocks I own. I don't know if they're all dip, because I think this is coming now. We're going to have a lockdown, and there will be a sell-off. There's two reasons, essentially. One is the being dragged down by the US markets because of the elections, and that will be done by Tuesday. Well, I don't know if it will. Trump is saying... I can't see Trump saying, I've lost. Fair enough, I've lost fair and square. Can you see him doing that?
It's got to be rubbish, isn't it? It's going to be a whole postal debate thing and all that, isn't it? It's just going to be stuff. You just know it's not. He's not going to go quietly.
I'm quite looking forward to him losing and finding out what he does.
Yes. Well, do you know what I thought? Do you know what? I don't know what would be. The thing is, if he loses, I know he'll blame the system, say it was rigged.
Well, he already is, isn't he?
Yeah, he already is. Yeah, exactly. He's laying the ground for that. If he wins, he'll be intolerable, won't he? Saying, yeah, I told you, Sleepy Joe has no... He'll be boasting and bragging for months, won't he, on Twitter. So it's like, I wouldn't mind him just losing, but he won't accept, you know, defeat. What's the word? He won't accept it.
Magnanimously,
yeah.
Graciously.
He won't be gracious in defeat at
all. Any of those words.
Because he'll see that he hasn't been defeated.
Well, that polite handover when the new president comes into the White House.
Oh, that'd be good.
You know, like that won't happen, will it? He'll go before he'll.
Do you know what? He probably won't even turn up to that, and that would be unprecedented.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Again, he probably... anyway, he just says it was a rip-off. Anyway, listen, I own 6 stocks. I've sold my Vanguard fund to get on cash because I think the dip is now definitely... I thought the dip was coming anyway because of the rise in the cases, infection rates, because obviously countries are locking down. So France locked down now, Germany's locked down. Are Italy locked down or not? Don't think I'll. No. So it's only a matter of time. Next week's rumoured we'll be locked down. This will have a knock-on effect. Brace up, lads. Buckle up. It's up to you. You maybe want to sell stocks.
Sell Escape Hunt.
No. Are you kidding? That is the one stock. I know that Escape Hunt, out of all my portfolio, right, Escape Hunt is very leveraged to the economy, the open economy, you know? It's a leisure stock. People have to go there. And in fact, I'm going there today to Basingstoke. Yeah, I'm going to
Basingstoke.
Yes, today I'm going there. God. Yes.
Living the dream.
We're living the dream. And I tell you what, if I like the experience, I'm buying more stock. But I'm going to buy more anyway, I think, because I like the operation. I've had a couple of people say I've been, it's brilliant as compared to others and all that stuff. And they are...
It will take a hit. Like, a lot of people will be thinking, like Paddy there, and thinking, sell, because this might not be the final lockdown, might it? So you might be continually hit by lockdowns in the next year.
Well, let me tell you why you shouldn't be doing that, Paddy. In fact, not why you shouldn't be doing it, it's why I'm not doing it.
No,
right?
But hold on. What I'm saying is you've got to think about sentiment and momentum. So you've got to think other people will think like Paddy and sell. And
exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Peter, I wouldn't buy now.
No, Ned. Do not think I'm not thinking like that as well, though. But listen this, though. This is my reasoning, right? I say to my kids now, guys, there's only two ways you can build up wealth in this, good wealth in this world.
Crime.
And Fred always just says, win the lottery, at the start, just for a laugh. And I always say, no. You've more chance of being the president than winning the lottery.
Own a business.
Yeah, own a business.
Oh, Dad, stop it.
Yeah, own a share of business. They've got to be good businesses, right?
No, now, I just want to play Fortnite.
Exactly. No, Fred.
Stop asking us that bloody question.
Fred,
we got it, Dad.
No,
yeah,
Fred.
Okay.
Fred says that though. He says, "I'm going to earn money on Fortnite." I said, "Fred, do you understand how many people?" I said, "Crack away. I'm not going to sort of condone you playing 8 hours of Fortnite a day, though. Using it as an excuse to this is my living because it's not going to happen." But anyway, this is why I think, right? And I said to you before, at the moment, right, it will dip. The stock market will dip next week, and people will be selling and running for the doors. But when the lockdown will happen, but before the lockdown gets back up, I think we'll have a vaccine within a month or so. And so that sentiment will lift the market. And like you said, something like Escape Hunt, there may be some people selling, but it's very tightly held. You couldn't buy any on the rise last time, right? You can't buy it. So if you're running for the door like the herds are, you'll never do well. You've got to go in the opposite direction. And the only way to do that is get a bigger slice of the business when it's a discount. And you buy the fear. You've got to buy the fear. And that's the dip. And that's the way you accumulate a business on cheap. Right now, each site, to break it down into figures, is worth about a million to a million and a half in value to Escape Hunt. They've got 11 sites right now, so that's worth between 11 million and 16.5 million. All right, EBITDA-wise, this is times 10 EBITDA leisure things. So right now, you're getting a discount of 48%, say, if you're valuing 11 million, to 123%, say, at 6.7. So you're getting those sites on discount right now because of COVID. That's the COVID disease discount. That won't be around forever. So the best time to buy is when the fear is high. And that's it. And that's all you do. You accumulate the business. Because I believe this business will go back to growth the way it was pre-COVID. And we're talking about the months and weeks before the lockdown previously. They were doing 55% like-for-like increase on sales. So there's not a problem with demand. There's plenty of demand. They're in prime locations in all these shopping centres now, and they're rolling out. The worst that's going to happen is going to delay this business. Last time they had lockdown, because of government schemes, they only burned, 90 grand of cash over 6 months. And using operations.
Yeah.
So they've got 4 million, over 4 million in cash. So the biggest worry about a small business is, will it survive? And the reasons why business goes through is because they haven't got cash flow and they're in debt. This hasn't got debt and they've got no problem with cash because they have 4 million. And if they're going to lockdown, they just shut everything down. It doesn't really cost them much. They can furlough staff. Now, when it bounces back, you'll be able to, in that downtime when the fear is in, accumulate stock at cheap levels. When the industry opens back up, it may take another 12 months before we get back to, or 18 months to get back to normal, but the stock market anticipates that and starts rising before that. That's why you have to take advantage and buy the COVID disease discount. That's it. And that's all you need to do.
I don't think we're debating that. It's just also, all right, spin it another way. If you had to put money on which direction the Escape Hunt share price is going next week, would you put your money?
I know, but how often have people predicted the right direction of the stock market? Sometimes it doesn't.
But it's going to be more obvious when
exactly. The more obvious it is, the less it happens. Who would have known? Everyone was bearish in the last lockdown, right? And then we had the biggest rally you've ever seen in your life. It sold off the fastest and bounced back the fastest. Many people, some of the best investors out there, some of the billionaires, I missed that. I sold off. I thought it was going to stay down there forever. Everyone thought it was going to stay down there for months and months. It didn't. Didn't live weeks. the bounce back was so fast. Phenomenal. That will happen again.
Stocks. No, absolutely. But different stocks will be affected in different ways. And Escape Hunt's one of those ones where I take your point that it's tightly held. But even the tight holders might start to have second thoughts and say, well, hold on.
Let me tell you this.
Reduce my exposure here.
Then
if it drops down to whatever.
I'll take this stock. They're reducing the exposure. I'm taking this stock. Because, do you know what? It's at a discount already. I'm buying that. You look longer term. You look 12 months online. If you're selling me that stock on a discount, pretty much, it's already on a 50% discount to the real value there. Probably closer to like a 100% discount right now. So this company should be valued at, on normal COVID times, at between 11 and 16 million. It's valued at 7 million.
So what Justin's saying, Pete, is basically when people start selling, he'll buy up their stocks, so the price won't go down. So we'll be okay.
That's fine.
There we go. Right.
Justin will bankroll the whole operation, effectively.
And sell-offs should be seen, if you positioned right, as opportunities. That's what I'm saying, for good stocks. And if you're looking through my portfolio now, right, the six stocks I own, and I don't know what you guys own, but I can't see Plarium being hitting too much, unless they get FDA, because obviously they're med tech anyway. They're generating a bit of revenue, but they're not reliant on the open economy, pretty much. And also, like I said, when people aren't excited about a stock like Plarium now, it's too late, pretty much, to start earning lots of money out of Plarium. I mean, it's still a five bagger for you, probably, but it'll take longer. But the fast, easy money, when no one saw it, no one knew about the story, has been made. You know, we've tripled our money pretty much in this since I started talking about it. I've averaged up, so I haven't really tripled. I've really doubled, but a bigger chunk of the money have doubled. So, it's like Gfinity. When we started talking about this, you know, now people, you know, the follower count on Vox, for example, has gone massively in Gfinity over the last few months. Now, the clever money was in early on this. They were taking the placing at 1 pence, you know. And they're investing, I highlight this, 1.5 pence. The clever money gets in early, and you don't worry about the fear of the dips. You buy the fear, that's where you earn the money. And like I said, once people are excited about a stock, people are excited about those COVID testing stocks, it's done, it's gone. There's very few COVID stocks left, you know, triple or quadruple from here. It's done, they've had their run. We have got a vaccine. The sectors now that were rallied, unlike last time, tech sectors rallied, the ones that were sort of immune from the real economy, the digital economy rallied last time. The tech stocks, like, you know, and in fact, Amazon. You've seen Amazon? Phenomenal. Last quarter, Amazon, they've tripled their profit. They're earning $801 per second in profit. Per second, that's $69 million per day in profit they're earning in the last quarter. And that's because, of course, people didn't run it. So last time, Amazon will always do well now because people's, you know, I think habits have changed. People didn't use Amazon a lot and now using a lot more. I'm so addicted to Amazon. It's unbelievable. I just click and buy. It's so easy to do it. But this time round, with a vaccine there, with therapeutics, there's so many drugs being tested now for COVID. There's so many vaccines out there being tested. I think light at the end of the tunnel, I think now is the time for the economy that needs people, footfall and all that, you know, leisure, travel, those will rally strongly, banks even, because we've got that, you know, pathway to getting back to normal, and that will be the vaccine. So the next rally will not be about, you know, the ones that are immune from the, you know, lockdown. It's the other ones that I think they'll rally.
But to take your point on Plarium, because I agree, because that's what I've been looking at my portfolio and going, well, if there's going to be another national lockdown down, or, and it's not beyond the realms of possibility, we could have another dash for cash like we had in March, and we have a big old correction. That could happen. But I've been looking at my portfolio and going, like you've just done, Plarium, is it going to be affected really? Gfinity, you know, esports, you know, probably actually in spite of a lockdown, or because of a lockdown, actually will improve their performance potentially, but Plarium, you've got to think it's risen strongly, so people are going to take profit, aren't they? So you're going to see a dip because people are taking profit.
Again, to try and re-engineer your head into buying more, don't be selling it. Don't follow the crowd. This is going to be an excellent business. Honestly, I believe over the next 5 years, it'll take a while, but this could be a £1 billion company, you know?
So if Plarium drops to 50p next week, you'll just go, great.
I'm buying it. I've got money now. I've got enough money now to top up in all my stocks. I can do that. Some will probably dip more than others. Plarium, because it's well followed now and people know the story more, it may dip, but I don't think it'll be a massive dip anymore. But okay, if cool. it does,
I'll sell Escape Hunt and put it in Plarium.
If it does, no, but listen, if you're talking about doubling of a market cap, the valuation, there's more chance of Escape Hunt doubling now in a shorter space of time than say, you know, they are a 7 million market cap, 7.4 million. Plarium's 121 million. Plarium have to generate 121 million of value or perceived value to double. Escape Hunt have to just double 7 million. You know, that's, I mean, and that's not hard because they keep rolling out the thing. The worst thing happening is it'll slow down their rollout. Already they've been almost Basingstoke, they've got Chelham next, and they've got Watford, they've got Kingston. Every month they're rolling out a new thing, and that will up their value, you know. And so it may lag the share price, but don't be surprised, don't be convinced that the share price is the value of the company. It's not. You have sentiment affecting the share price of the company. That's where that disconnect there is where you can take advantage. So Gfinity, I don't see them.
At the moment, I'm at 0.22% cash.
That's quite low.
Yeah. So, but in order to take advantage of this dip that's coming, I've got to try and, I don't know, if I want to get some cash, I need to sell something.
Yeah.
And of my stocks, which are...
Maybe a kidney.
Of my stocks, which are going to get adversely affected over the next few months, feels like Escape Hunt is one that I could sell now, and then maybe get back in at a little bit later. I'm not dealing in this huge, like, tens of millions of pounds like you are. You know, there's probably going to be 5 shares floating around at some point in the future for me to get back in at the same level.
Yeah, we'll do it. I'll probably be the person via the market maker, buy the stock off you. But you've got to make your own decisions, haven't you? But in my mind, this is the only company that I've got enough funds of where I can become a significant holder of, and you know, and at a good price. And I see myself having this network. I honestly see in literally 12 months' time them having 20 sites, within 3 years having close to 50 sites, and me having a nice chunk of that business. And I think it's a premium brand, premium locations, you know, and that by then it will be almost a well-known brand. People will say, "Oh yeah, I know Escape Hunt. Yeah, it's one in our town."
Almost a well-known brand. Yeah.
Well, you know, people like Hollywood Bowl, for example. There's one in every big town everyone's been to. Yeah, everyone's been to. Everyone knows about. And by then, you think, "Wow, do you remember when you could buy that back at like valued at, you know, seven million and had cash?" Yeah, exactly. But the sentiment was so low. People don't understand. We are now in this time frame where fear is around us, and we look on the negative side. Give it a couple of years, you think, I was insane not to be buying then. Why didn't I buy? Because it's the sentiment of the market. That's why it's so hard to buy low, sell high. Because when it's high, right, people think it's going to the moon. They won't sell. When it's low, people think it's going to the floor, so they do sell. That's the opposite way round you should be looking at, you know?
But next question, and I agree, and that's what I've started to think. I'm looking at my stocks, like I said, Gfinity, Plarium, whatever. It's like, well, there's going to be opportunities to buy. But at what point? That's the hardest bit, isn't it?
You're scaling, aren't you? Scaling.
Well, scaling. Okay, sure.
But what's that?
So
on what's 10%?
Yeah. 10% scaling, another
10%
scaling, more?
Yeah. So I got my major chunk. I mean, my major chunks are in there already. I'm just topping up now. So I said to you, on Thursday, I bought, what was it, On the Market, Escape Hunt, and where was it? Anything on, what else did I buy? And something else. That was SO4, Salt Lake Potash. And then
bread company. Yeah, some bread company as well, didn't you?
No, I bought that for a while. But Symphony Environmental. That's right. I've had those. I like those a lot. Bread. So, bread. They just launched straws now. Drinking straws. They biodegrade. They're plastic, but also antimicrobial, so they kill coronavirus. I think it's a huge market in that. They've got FDA approval. Biggest bakery.
People catching coronavirus from straws?
Yeah, no, people. No, but the thing is, it's everything, isn't it? These days, we understand if everything was made with antimicrobial stuff, like surfaces everywhere, and their stuff is called master batch. So basically, it's adding like for example, sugar to tea. What? You know. So
That's a very bad brand name.
It's a very bad brand name.
No, it's not. That's not their brand name, Master Batch. You put it in the master batch. When companies are making plastic bags, for example, they start off with tiny little particles or whatever of plastic, or and then they're heated up, mixed up, and you add a little bit of their sort of particles, whatever it is.
Have you added the master batch?
Yeah.
Keith,
he's doing some master batching. He's doing some master batching backstage. But no, he's
the only flaw I can see in Symphony Environmental. Is, for example, Cardiff is leaps. I can only speak for Cardiff because
hang on, why is Paddy laughing at Cardiff? Paddy's sitting there in his Croydon throne and thinking it's the kingdom of the world. Hang on, every region we mention, Paddy looks down on. Paddy, Croydon is not the be-all end-all. It's the end-all.
It's the most desirable town in London.
Yeah, for you.
A Croydon throne sounds like a euphemism.
It does, doesn't it? But for anyway, let's go.
I want to hear Steve's point about Cardiff.
Cardiff is leaps ahead of most places across UK in recycling and waste management.
Yeah.
And what they do, like obviously recycling, they do recycling, I'm not sure what exactly they do, but the rest of it, they just incinerate it and turn it into energy.
Yeah.
So how does that work? Biodegradable.
Hang on. Who's incinerating it and turning it into energy?
They do the same here.
So just built new power faster. So, that's a different stock. So I'll be more inclined to that stock than to the environmental.
It's all good and well
having stuff that's biodegradable, but if the future is basically just incinerating your general waste, well, that's not going to make any difference, is it?
They're just going to burn that biodegradable plastic.
Burning gives off bad emissions. That's poisoning the air.
Then you get powerhouse energy in, and they turn that.
But the isn't even commercial yet. They're literally doing still trial sites, and they're a very small operation, tiny operation. Have you seen the amount of waste that goes to landfill or burning these days? It's still not good. They want to cut down on that. That's bad. That's really bad. So the thing is, this is why it's good, Steve, right? For example, they've got now the biggest bakery in Mexico, biggest bakery in Turkey. These are countries that dwarf us in population size, right? Literally Turkey, I think, is 80-odd million. We're only 60. And Mexico is even more, 100-odd million people. Biggest bakeries there already using their thing. So plastic is so successful. It's in the supply chains. It's billions and billions of pounds worth of money has been spent creating these supply chains from these customers who supply plastic. You can't just shut them off. Day one, that's what I say. So why not, while we're sort of pivoting to a new, you know, clean, green economy, which will take years and years. We're not talking about 2 years, we're talking 5 to 10 years before we're out with not using plastic. Why not use something that biodegrades? Yeah, longer. I mean, in fact, some people won't even go for it because they'll produce these bags for life. But why not, in the meantime, add something to your process when you're making these plastic bags, you know, that will biodegrade in a couple of years, 2-3 years, it starts to break down to bacteria, to the point where it becomes food for bacteria. Why not just do that? And also, anything you use or create, why not make it antimicrobial? Just add again, it's like putting a little teaspoon of sugar in a cup of tea, and it becomes antimicrobial. So it kills, like doorknobs, anything's made, you can add to anything, pretty much, you know, toothbrushes, antimicrobial, everything can be added to it. So that way you're killing bacteria straight away. So, to me...
What about the good bacteria?
Well, yeah, maybe kill that as well, but you have to put that... Yeah.
So you're going
to
kill the bacteria and then the bacteria are going to eat the plastic? Yeah. How does the bacteria know when it's safe to eat the plastic?
No, but in the sea, you see. You wouldn't put antimicrobial in the sea, would you? So, yeah. So, no, it works together, though. So, anyway, but anyway, I like that. But if you look at the economies. First of all, they've got FDA clearance. FDA clearance on anything is a benchmark around the world. Once you get clearance, that's standard. You say, wow, all you have to do is get FDA, because that's the hardest level of clearance. So they've got FDA clearance on their packaging, and they've got now testing with some of the biggest bread makers in the US. Mark my words, within a few weeks or months, they'll announce trials with big bread-making plastic bag makers in America. It'll be huge. And the share price will pop, because they're doing that right now. They've been in testing for a long time. And they've got, like, big contracts elsewhere. And, you know, you can't just... EU, for a while, banned single plastic use. And you can't do that. Single-use plastic. You can't do that, because it's not practical. And they realise they've stepped back on that now. They can't do it. They can't just cut that out of the... You know, they have to do something else in the meantime. So this kind of technology will be the bridging gap, you know, between that for the next 5-10 years.
That's a good example of a stock where that has risen sharply because of when it announced the COVID stuff. But it's kind of on a downtrend now, isn't
That's
it?
That's why I highlighted it. Yeah, I did a weekend video. So at the moment, I didn't highlight it before because the chart shot up. It's a bit volatile. Now the chart is like literally, it's just filling that gap. It just gapped up, you know, a while back. And then now it's filled that gap. It's 23 pence, yeah.
But with perhaps the next week or 2 weeks, you know, going to have sentiment on the slide about across everything. Perhaps so. We're going to see a bit of a slide. It's an interesting one to look at, isn't it? Because how far will that slide? Will it go back down to its sort of support level around 15p? That could be interesting.
For me personally, I've got the stocks I want. I'm not looking outside my portfolio. I realise, you know, if you look back on that big sell-off when everyone was selling, that was the time to buy when the fear and greed index was down at 2, which I've never seen before in my life. There's so much fear. That was the time. Now looking back on it, in hindsight, we should have been a buyer there. That's going to happen again now. But the difference is, we've got a window now where we're going to have a vaccine, so we see a pathway to normality a little bit. So that's opportunity to buy to me. It's not opportunity to sell.
But when you say that about like looking back, I remember doing the podcast around that time in March, whatever, and we were sort of saying, yeah, there's bound to be opportunities now, but it's how do we pick them? You know, and we'll probably look back and go, oh, we should have put you. You know, it's just you're almost foresight was that there was going to be hindsight that it, you know, we would have had an opportunity. It's just that when you're in the moment.
Yeah, we are in
that moment now. What can we do now? I agree in terms of topping up on stocks we're already in, but other opportunities or anything.
But do you know what? It's like you've got proof of it happening, right? If you know something that's counterintuitive, but then afterwards, you see that actually, even though it didn't make sense at the time, that would made a lot of sense. Now you say this time. Why won't it rally? If it dips again like that, why won't it rally when we're heading towards... We didn't have anywhere near a vaccine last time. We didn't have any therapeutics. Yeah. We didn't know anything about the virus, pretty much. We didn't know who it killed. Now we have all this data. We've got probably more... Listen, whoever gets in the US election is going to be a stimulus. There's going to be stimulus again. Not as big as the last level stimulus, but there will be stimulus. So we've got, you know, positive news on the viruses. You'll have stimulus as well. And we got a roadmap to... back towards normality, you know? And so I just genuinely think you've got to look at company valuations. That's all you've got to do and say, is this cheap? And you've got to look at it. I think this is cheap. And that's it. I think Plarium below 100 million market cap is cheap because I'm looking 3 to 5 years down the line, you know? And I think Gfinity, you know, at this level, 30 million, when they're... I mean, if you look at their... I'm going to do a video on the weekend of stocks and news out this week. Gfinity is one of them. And the margins are phenomenal. They've gone from 13% when John joined the company, 1.3, to 71%. And now their media business is growing excellently. And literally, it'll be doing 2 million this year. And we're talking about a 70% margin on this. And I've done a bit of a forecast model. And very conservatively... Just on the one part of the business alone, the media, which they own, that's all their websites and all that stuff, they'll be doing about 5-6 million of revenue, I think, in 2022. And you're talking on that, literally, 70% margin, you're talking about a 3 million profit. And even if you put that in terms a fast-growing esports company, you could put that on a P30 straight away. That's close to close to 100 million. That's the two other parts of the business. That's the hookups with the big brands. So I think this is way undervalued.
Can I ask a question about them?
Yeah.
So they put themselves up for sale, didn't they?
Yeah, well, the sale process, it's also a bit of a way of getting around. You get dispensations, like you can get investors coming in from different parts of the world. You can do more things. It was that sale process was originally created for companies in distress to give them a bit of ease, a bit of leeway to negotiate to get out. But other companies are now using it, saying, "Hang on, you can use this to do this or do takeovers or acquire or." For businesses to acquire certain parts of the business, which you can't do beforehand, or you have to announce the market previously, but now they don't. So they can be in discussions to acquire parts of their business, for example, with other esports companies, and they don't have to talk about it right now. So
a deal is like in the offering, and there's someone changing at the moment. Like presumably that will have a positive effect on the share price.
Yeah.
But what is the likely upside to that?
Well, let's say Gfinity.
For now, what are we saying? Is this one that maybe I should think about flogging in order to buy something else?
No, in my mind, no. I mean, that's why I hold these six companies. I'm subjective, of course, but I own six companies. You know, Solid Barash, On The Market, Gfinity, Escape Hunt, Symphony Environmental, Plarium. That's all I hold. And I think Gfinity, in my mind, just thinking about just then, actually, looking at their media business, where they're very excited about, and it's expanding almost exponentially, they've gone from nothing to literally doing 400 grand in the last couple of months, from nothing a couple of months ago, and it's growing quickly. To me, what they may do is spin off, not that part of the business, but maybe the business where I don't know, it's just speculation, the bits where a lower margin, you know, because John likes higher margin stuff, so the lower margin where they do partnerships with, you know, BT Sports and all these the big brand names, maybe they spin off that to someone else, I don't know, and they get a good cut and royalties from that, and yet they
have to... Isn't that their USP?
Well, no, they'll still have part of it, but they won't have to, you know, it'll be... What do you call it? Outsource that, you know, but sort of sell it off, but get a good chunk of revenue from it, but it won't cost them anything. I don't know. Or a big investor comes in and decides to invest in one side. There's lots of options. I don't know what's going to happen. But either way, the worst case scenario, if it carries on the way it is, we're going to have a profitable esports company that's growing quickly. You know, that's the worst case scenario. This is why I think they've opened up. There's no coincidence. Canaccord's come on board. You know, they are a big presence in the US. They write papers on esports. They're very bullish on esports. They approach Gfinity. And so there's something going on there that's very positive. And if you read that release, they do say they have now the chance to expand growth significantly doing this. So, and I trust John. John's on the right thing since he's been there. You know, when he got there, took over, he said, we had a trouble raising money at less than at one pence. That's why we had to do warrants. We had trouble when they first got there. That was the... Now, he said, people are coming towards us to invest in the business. And the share price has gone from, what, half? It was like half of a pence, wasn't it? At one point, remember which even it was. And so he's transformed the business. Yeah. So I think now he's gone from, literally, it was 0.5... No, it dipped down at 0.29. Oh, March the 20th.
Should have bought then.
Buying up to, that was the sell-off. That was the sell-off we're talking about. In Dash for Cash. In at 0.29.
Why didn't you tell us to buy then?
Well, focus on one company, pretty much, right? It's small cap. And now it's...
That was a missed opportunity, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That's a 10-bagger. That's a 10-bagger. But John has done the right thing from since then. I trust him. I speak to him on the podcast regularly. So I trust he'll do the right thing here. But again, the worst case scenario, it's a profitable esports business. Esports is phenomenal. I mean, gaming, all that. You go look at the younger generation at all. My kids do not watch telly. They don't watch it. Yeah. They watch gaming or people playing gaming. That's all they do. It's massive.
I don't watch telly.
No, I don't really. Me and the missus watch a drama now and again, but not really. Billions is back on, by the way. You watched that last night. In fact, we paused Billions.
I guess you do watch telly a bit.
We paused Billions to watch Steve. But it's like that's more selected these days, isn't it? We don't just sit there watching. Like years ago, you sit there just watching telly. Now you just pick out things you want to watch now and again.
I think it still counts as telly.
And by the way, boys, you want a tip? You want a tip on when to buy a company?
Yes.
If you're buying a small cap stock, Paddy, why do you always go...
Because he's got 0.22% of cash, so he's got to start buying a company.
That's the time that you can't buy a company. I suppose so, yeah. So the best time to buy a stock, right, a small cap stock, for example, if it's in turnaround especially, if it's transitioning to a positive way, and obviously they have to release the financials every now and again, the best time to buy is after the interims, after their half-yearly statement.
Yeah.
Cool.
What one of the best times?
There's probably the best time.
Okay. Well, no, when a pandemic hits and everything crashes to the floor, that's a good time.
No, I mean, generally, do you know why? Steve, do you want to know why? Steve knows the answer. Steve?
Yeah, go on, Steve.
No, I don't know the answer.
So twice a year, the company has to release financials, right? They have to release full year results, which is obviously for the full year, and they have to release half year results for the first 6 months, right? They have to do that by law of things. So, for example, this company's reporting is from January to December, let's say. So after the first 6 months, right, after June 30th, they've got a report on those figures. Within 3 months, they have to report on those figures. So July, August, September. In September time, they'll be reporting on their 6 months. The end of September, perhaps, this, because of the pandemic, people will be given leeway, companies have. But pretty much end of September-ish, they have to report on those 6 months, right? Then... All they'll have then is a lot of good news operationally, because they're trying to push out, so they were doing good news stuff. So come the 31st of December, they've got their full year figures there, but they don't have to report those for 6 months. So it's double the time. So they don't have to report those until June. So they've got pretty much, after the report in September on the 6 months, you've got then October, November, December, 3 months, and another 6 months, 9 months, before they have to show their sales. And that when a company is transforming in itself, and the commercial and the sales lag the actual operational, because obviously they'll start doing some new incentives, they'll start cutting the business down. It will take a while to for the sales to grow and all that stuff. So generally, you'll see companies that are new to the market will sell off when the financials are released. So if you buy after interims, you've got 9 months until, again, they will show what they're doing financially. So all the company will be putting out there is positive news on operations. Nothing else, pretty much. They may do a fundraise if they're in a company, but you should try and look for companies that don't need to do a fundraise. That's why always look after interims. Wait until after interims, and then maybe, if you like a company, buy in. Good that, innit?
Yeah.
You like that?
Well, as long as the interims aren't dire.
No, but if interims are dire, it'll dip. Right, so you buy after not before, after.
That's kind of a failing company.
Yeah, exactly.
No, but if you've researched a company and you know it's in turnaround, like I said, for example, Gfinity, right?
Yeah.
If you'd known John, he came on the podcast 3 times before I sort of believed what he was doing. He was doing what he was doing. He even took me 3 times, talked to him directly, which most people don't spend that much attention to believe in it, But if you'd bought, like I said, where were the interims at? I've seen June sometime. In fact, the sell-off was there, wasn't it? So, but if you'd bought after the interims, haven't they? You've done well. I'm just looking at the dates, so I can look in the chart as well. No, that's, I mean, because it's normally, you know, when people release, like, we're worried at this time. We said, oh, will they sell off after their financials? Because obviously the revenue's going down, but the margins go up massively. So they're cutting out these expensive, you know, almost loss-making contracts to the previous management because they basically hooked up them because they're good brands they're hooking up to. But they won't, it was costing them money. So why are we doing this if it's costing us money? What's the point doing it? And so they didn't do that. So John has cut that back. And we knew the revenue's going down. But if you look at the gross profit, it's gone up massively, you know. And so that will...
Yep.
All they have to do is grow the top line, and the rest of the business is healthy. They'll start delivering properly. But
so, what sort of percentage of your portfolio is Gfinity now? And how have you did de-risk a bit? But are you
a
still
little bit,
exposed?
Yeah. But I'm still all my stocks now are pretty much between 10% and 20% exposure.
Yeah,
I've got cash. Because I even after doing that diversity, you know, I do see that spreadsheet where, look at that video, I did conviction versus diversity. Like, you diversify too much and it's pointless. You won't make any, you know, you've got to take on a bit more risk to get a bit more reward. Simple as that.
Mm.
If you hold one stock, like I say, if you hold one stock and that dives, of course,
yeah,
you're going to lose a lot of money. You're going to lose all your money. If it,
yeah,
if it, it's a, but if you get two stocks, then of course you're, you just get it open. Yeah, if you get two stocks.
Yeah, I think like that, you know, six or seven stocks like that across multiple different sectors, it feels kind of nicely diverse, as well as like having a decent chunk in each. Mm. And that's what I am trying to get down to. I sold Roslyn Data this week because I had a small amount in there. And I thought, well, what's it doing? You know, in relative terms, even if it doubled, it's not as much because I only had about 3% of my portfolio in it. So it's like, get rid of it, get the cash, and then look for the opportunity.
Exactly, yes. You've got to have I am saying between 10, 5 and 10 stocks is plenty enough for me. I don't want even 10. Because, look at the thing now. Let's say you own 10 stocks, right? And one of those 10 bags, and you're all equally weighted into all stocks, so all same amount of money, yeah, percentage-wise, in each stocks, and one of those 10 bags... That'll raise your portfolio by 100%. A 10-bagger is very rare. So you'll double your portfolio value just by getting one 10-bagger and not selling any of it. So you realise, wow, I have to work hard, even with 10 stocks, to make a little bit of leeway. You've got 20 stocks and you do a 10-bagger, of course, that's half that. Your portfolio only got by half the value. So hang on, I just got a 10-bagger there and my portfolio value's only got by half. So it depends what your appetite for risk and reward. You know, again, but if you've got, say, 5 stocks... and you get a 10-bagger, you triple your portfolio about 200%. But again, if one of those goes through, say one of those companies, your 5 stocks, completely goes bust, you lose 20% of the value of your portfolio. Can you handle that kind of hit? If you can, go for 5 stocks. If you can take on that amount of risk, it's fine. 5 stocks is all you need. I would say have a fund maybe there trickling in the background. Why I don't want to go too much over 5 stocks. As long as you get, you know, the risk before you get into a company, for small cap stocks, one of the biggest risks is, have they got enough cash to survive? Secondly, am I buying a spike? Avoid those two things,
and
you're pretty much okay, you know? And then can they scale and that kind of thing? And of course, you know, like I said, if you do one stock, you're more likely to see, I've seen a couple of times, you know, small caps take a big hit one time, 50%. So it's very rarely, you know, a company goes through if you do due diligence. So if you've got, you know, 5 stocks and a company takes a hit of 50%, your portfolio value goes down by 10%. So,
yeah,
you know, so can you handle that kind of risk? I can, you know, because hopefully I put enough due diligence in. Of course, sometimes you get left field where you get a con artist in the company, that CFO, like happened with Patissi Valerie, didn't he, or whatever, the dodgy accounting. And that company looked like it was doing very well, growing very quickly, all of a sudden, there was accounting discrepancies and the stock went through the floor and it got delisted. So every now and again, you could have a left field thing happen like that. Not very often. But again, if you've got like 5 stocks, you're going to take a 20% hit on that. That's fine. It was growing quickly anyway. So, there we are. So, So you look at how much risk are you prepared to take? And, you know, because you're not going to get good reward unless you take some risk. Full stop.
Yeah. Yep.
How many stocks do you hold, Pad?
Truth or thought.
6.
Yeah. Well, again,
there they are, Pat.
Yeah, maybe sell one then, get some more cash on, and then deal with 5.
I've got 7.
Oh, we'll sell
are
2.
Quite equally weighted, Pat, or have you got?
No, I've got. No. Let me get up my spreadsheet. so at the moment, Polarian is 41% of my portfolio. Most of them are sort of like 10%, apart from On the Market, which I've only got 4% in, and
Escape Hunt.
1% met, which is like just pointless. 2.63%.
Exactly. You understand now that unless you have some kind of conviction, you know, and have a decent chunk, you're not going to make any money, you know. So you've got to up your holding. Of course, it ups your risk, but it ups your chance of reward as well.
We'll rebalance your portfolio. Don't you think?
Yeah, rebalance it a bit. And,
because he hasn't got cash, because he's fully invested.
Yes, exactly. There we are. Pete's portfolio, clinic. Rebalance the portfolio.
Yeah.
The only other thing I could flog is my fund. That's 17% at the moment.
Well, Justin said at the beginning, don't do that. So
yeah, but you know what? If you know the Steve risk of this, Steve, do you know what? The fund will always lag a little bit, right? So for example, if you sold that fund, the reason I'm selling my fund is that fund returns. If you look over long term, it returns about between 8% and 14% per year, which is over the long term. Of course, some years it'll go down.
Not this year.
No.
It's done absolutely nothing in the year and a half I've had it.
But, this is a Vanguard fund, is it?
Mm.
Yeah. But if you look it over, and of course, it generally outperforms the years after it underperforms.
Is now a time when a fund it doesn't generally outperform? And money might be better used elsewhere.
Yes, but it'll also lag. So you'll get a small stock rallying quickly within a couple of weeks. But the fund, of course, it holds thousands of companies, won't catch up that fast. So this is why I'm doing it. So I think there's opportunity to be had to make a lot more money than 8 to 10% on small cap stocks in the next few months. Yeah. And then if I get overexposed, I'll dribble out and start putting it back into the fund. But at the moment, I think, and also because they're quite liquid, that's why it's good to hold money in funds. It's quite liquid. You can put an order in. Because the life strategy takes a couple of days to sell. But, I'm going to sell mine. I put an order in on Thursday morning, I think. I don't think it's quite sold yet. But
My biggest ever loss, and I've been doing this a few years now, my biggest ever loss came this year in those couple of funds because they're going to crash. Biggest, like, actual, in terms of financial, not percentage, my biggest amount of money I lost ever was at that period in March.
But I know you hate being a trader, Justin, but isn't this not a time to be a trader? And like, if
I'm buying more of the stocks I own.
I mean about the fund though. Like, if we were going to be sensible and predict next week or next couple of weeks there's going to be another dip, however big that's going to be, the fund's going to get affected by that because it owns so many stocks. Is now not the time to sell your fund and then, if nothing else, buy it again in 2 weeks' time?
Mm, agree.
No, but that's the only... Listen, I'm going to lose, 4% on the fund, probably. 4-5% on that dipping, right?
Of your portfolio.
On that holding itself. But I'm going to make, hopefully, upwards of 50% on the small cap stocks.
Yeah, well, can I just say, there's a happy ending to my fund story there, the biggest ever loss, when it looked pretty dark in April or whatever. I took the decision to sell and consolidate, bank that loss, basically, but sell that and put it into small caps because I felt they were going to have a greater chance to recover. And I've now recovered everything I've and more than that biggest loss I've ever made, from the fund. So, happy ending to that. In terms of recovering that, and so kind of that's what you're doing in a different kind of way, releasing the cash out of the fund to actually make more in small caps than you will in the fund.
Why are you going on about that, losing 4% then?
So I was up about 5% in that fund, right? And generally, if you look at the returns on the funds, on that fund, it'll go from minuses. Generally, after a minus year, it'll do very well. This year, minus year, it'll do well. I may even, I know I can earn better money, basically, in small caps. It's a risk. It's a higher risk. Of course it is. Yeah. But I know I can earn better money in the small caps than I can in that fund. And there's a small window of opportunity where I think we'll have a big sell-off now, a bit of a dip in the markets for next month, or maybe a few weeks. But at the end of that, there's this window where we'll have positive news on vaccines, all this, and a road to normality, where I think we'll have a massive rally. Now, of course, I'll go back to dripping back in the fund, but it's only my fast... I was pretty much... I only had about 5% cash. So I didn't want to sell any stocks that I held. So I think the most liquid thing I own that's going to get rid of quickly is that fund. I say quickly, because it's Vanguard. It takes 2 days to sell. But, that's quick enough, liquid enough. So I wouldn't advise you doing it, but I'd see... I'm happy to take more risk on board on small caps right now, because I think there's going to be squeaky bum time for a lot of people. Will sell, they're under doors screaming and shouting, sell, 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 and I'm going to buy some of that stock when it's at a low discount.
I've actually just recently bought a Vanguard fund, so a small amount, and I'm starting to drip into that. Cause I'm thinking,
yeah, now is a good time to buy the fund. Yes,
I'd say for set down, aren't they?
For sensible, almost passive private investors, now is the time to start buying into that fund. Yeah. Absolutely. For me,
and passive funds as well, not actively managed.
Yeah, no, Vanguard is low cost. You're buying all the tech stocks in America, everything. You're buying, you know, all the good stuff. But yeah, I'd say for a passive private investor, now when you see the headlines of market sell-offs, that's the time to start really scaling into these funds, because you'll outperform the market long term. Because as simple as that, you can hold a fund, right? I mean, look at the Vanguard returns here. And literally, they're cracking returns. You know, from 2012, did 11.8%. 2013, 20%. 2014, 9%. 2015, 3.5%. I mean, it hasn't gone into loss. Last year, it did minus 5%. 2019, 21%. But this year, it's going to be down again. And generally, on a negative year, then if it's not the next year, this fund yet hasn't done two negative years in a row. So you could say...
That's a high-risk fund anyway. So there are funds that are...
Scaling in this year on this fund would be very good, because returned, you know, cumulative.
So I'm 7% down this year in this fund.
Yeah, this is the time to recoup. So do you know what? Look at this, Pad.
I can't accumulate any money.
Is this the Life Strategy Fund?
Yeah, the Life Strategy Fund. Yeah, so since inception, right? I think it was done in 2011. It was created. It's done 132% this fund. Now in the last 5 years, it's done 72%. That's cracking. That's better than any. You know, so if you look at it, last month it's down 0.75%. The last 3 months, it's been up 1.76%. Year to date, it's down 2%. But over 3 years, it's done 18%. So you just look at this, you think, hang on, bad years are the time to buy in this fund. Absolutely. And you can actually outperform the market. And when it comes to pension time, you'll be doing very, very well, because there are some small dividends. But you do. I just see, for me, there's more opportunity, more risk as well, though, in small caps.
And just to say that Vanguard's ISA fees and everything else are lower than elsewhere. So
yeah, no, I compared this to the IUKD fund, which is BlackRock's, and that's very liquid. It's an ETF, so you can buy and sell it. You can get a quoting deal straight away on it. But the difference is, BlackRock, I think over 10 years, did about, I think, this fund outperforms that fund by like 20%, 25% over 5-10 years. Like that. Vanguard outperforms BlackRock's IUKD, but the difference is IUKD, you can get a quoting deal straight away, so you can sell your money straight away there and then. But if you're looking long term, you want to put your money in this Vanguard 100% Life Strategy Fund, and that's what I've got.
Yeah, but I also mean like the actual ISA, like you'd actually buy an ISA from
Vanguard. Yeah.
Depending on your ISA exposure this year, whatever.
So, Paddy Pullips, quickly. So, I'm 50.
Can we also talk about Six Nations? Because Paddy thinks Scotland's going to win.
How does he think that? Why do you think that,
Paddy? I don't know. Because
they still mathematically have a chance to win. My bet is not dead.
Okay. Now, going on that judgment and then that logic, let's go to Paddy Pullips, right? Because, I'm 50 in February, right? And I last couple of months I put a bit of weight.
Don't look a day over 50, Justin.
Thanks very much.
No.
Last couple of months I put a bit of weight. So I started doing, what I'm going to do is, I do my exercise every day anyway, but so I ramp it up. I'm going to do 50 days of 50 minutes per day, quite intensive. So what I do is this. I start off with 20 pull-ups, 20 press-ups, right, with the things. Then I do 5 minutes running on a normal, not sprinting, but 5 minutes running. Then I go back to, again, 15 and 15 pull-ups, press-ups. And I keep doing that for 40 minutes, pretty much. And with press-ups, it takes me 50 minutes altogether. At the end, last set, I do 20 and 20 again on the pull-ups press. And I was, Megan sent you a video of me doing them, and she was banging on the window beforehand, was putting me off. And it was my one but last set, which is normally my worst set, because my last set, I try and do very good. And then Paddy saw the video and said, no, that's not even one pull-up there. Then Paddy did a video. We had a big discussion on pull-ups. Paddy did a video of him doing a pull-up, and literally he did four, and it took him about a couple of minutes to do four. That's how slow they were. I said, you can't do that. I can't. And the thing is, I've lost about a stone in weight, pretty much half stone in weight. I can see my stomach muscles. I'm 50. My job is sitting down. I said to Paddy, name any 50-year-olds you know that sit down for a living, you can see their stomach muscles. I said, I got results from it, and I understand I should slow down, and I will do, but Paddy's pull-up.
Anyone who goes from doing not very much exercise to doing exercise will see results very quickly, but my concern is that you're an old man and doing sort of wriggling around under a bar like that is that's going to cause some shoulder injuries.
If you're counting
those as pull-ups, then you're sort of just cheating yourself.
But it's aerobic and anaerobic. And I can do slow push-ups. I will next week. This is my last week now. This is day 50.
Just do less better and you'll get a better workout.
I will. But it's
and
now,
do stuff just sat in an armchair.
Yeah. No, but listen, but I had a system, a routine, and in my head, psychologically, no, I have to tick boxes and get it done, makes me get it done, right? And now, after next week, I'll cut it down. Maybe I'll even do just five sets of that, slow ones, long. But yeah, I'll take your, I do take your thing. But let me ask you one question. Let's take it right to the extreme, right? If you said, right, you've got a minute on the pull-up bar, right? What's going to do the best amount of, you know, what's going to be the best for you? Doing
depends what you're looking for to achieve.
Let me finish, Your Honour. 1 minute of quick pull-ups going crazy, right? Or one slow one over a minute. What's going to do you better?
One slow one, definitely. It's all about time.
Well, over a minute?
So your muscles be far better used if you just keep them constantly under tension. That's why gymnasts are so fit, because they just constantly... the muscles are tensed for such long periods. You see those guys doing like the cross on the rings or the sort of gymnastic bar stuff. Like, it's incredible, like the amount of strength that's required to do that. If you're just sort of wriggling around underneath the bar like you were doing, then that's not really giving you much of an effort.
But it depends if you're going for your your beach body, toning, strength stuff, or it's like an aerobic, cardiovascular.
Yeah, if you're doing aerobic stuff, just don't do pull-ups. Do something that's more aerobic. That's not really an aerobic exercise.
Well, I do run as well.
You can turn it into an aerobic exercise like you're trying to do, but like there are better ways to do aerobic exercises.
Okay, I'll take your advice on board. I'm just going to do one more week, that's all I'm doing, and I've got results, though. Like I said, I'm seeing my stomach muscles coming out. I've got a lot better shape. I've lost weight. And I'm happy now. I'm getting towards where I was when I was 42, when I actually got ripped and got stomach muscles, and that was because I was over. And I think it's good to have some goals on it, just to try and, okay, I'm turning up to 50. Let me get to the stage, before I'm 50. And so it gives you a drive, something to go for. And even Stocks and Shares, having a goal in some way, where do you want to get to? And also planning back, how do I get to that? So for example, if you want to say, get to £1 million in 10 years, you've got to start at a million and work your way back and seeing how much growth you can get over each year. And how do you do that? If you've got 100 stocks, you're never going to do it. And it's almost like you have some kind of goal to get towards. That's what I'm saying.
If you want to get a million in 10 years, you've got to start with 10 million. Okay.
Yeah. And put them into travel stocks. Yeah.
Just, are you going to do your next Stocks and Shares video top off?
Top off, yes, I'll do that. Yeah.
So we see this chest that you're talking about.
Well, I wanted to do a, I wanted to do, maybe do this, a remote escape hunt. You can do that, remote escape hunts. And Paddy's like,
it really stresses me out, the idea of, there's not something that really appeals
to me. You can sit there, but it's like us sitting here now, rather than just talking to audio, talking on video with a guy there, you can have a couple of drinks, and you can do it, work it out, have a good laugh, a bit of banter. Oh, by the way, do you know what? We had an experience this week. Last thing before we go, because I have to go soon. Jeremy, who's a guy who lives 2 doors down, he's quite religious, sadly, right, he's lost his job, right? And he was a social worker or something like that, a very lefty guy, very sandal wearing socks. He invites people around, for a nice guy, but very religious. And he comes around, knocks on the door, he always pregnant pauses there, and he's talking about this house things, it's coronavirus. I've had coronavirus, I was very ill with it actually. And he lost it. And he said to me at one point, is a pregnant pause, and he went, screwed up his face, and do you want to come for a coffee?
Oh.
It was like he's asked me for a date. It's like he's asked me for a date. Oh. I said, yeah. If you've got your email, I'll send you a couple of dates and we can get together for a coffee.
Yes. Right.
That's nice.
It's not nice, because last time
he clearly doesn't know you.
No, he doesn't. Maybe I should go for one coffee to put him off. Yeah, I go for one coffee.
He ran invite you out again.
He said to Megan last time, him and Megan together, he said to Megan, can I pray for you? And Megan said, Megan said no. She said no to him. She said, okay. So I feel quite awkward. He said, stand there, looking at her, praying for her. I'm going to go for a coffee on Tuesday with him, or Monday.
Is he married?
He is married, yes. I know. But that's a little bit awkward, isn't it? I'm not religious. I'm very cynical. I'm not religious in any way, I just show
him the truth. Hope he doesn't listen to the podcast, shall we?
Yeah.
make it even more awkward.
Jeremy, two cities Tuesday. It's fine.
If you're listening. Maybe this thing, you're getting to sit down in the coffee house and you'll go, right, Justin.
He wants to go to his house.
Hilarious. What's happening with Polaria?
Yeah. Hopefully, yes.
Is that really going to go?
Yes. I very like esports, don't you? Esports is very good, isn't it? Yes. I know, hopefully. But yeah, it's very awkward to stand on the. He's like, they asked me for a date. It's very odd. So I don't know. Part of me is trying to put him off. But part of me thinks I should go around for a chat anyway.
No, go. I learned that during lockdown. That sometimes, you know, people who perhaps wouldn't normally be in your circle of friends, sometimes it's nice to just reach out and meet new people.
And it's
probably a cry for help.
Yeah,
pick the right person. But
yeah, no, exactly. Don't cry.
You could do like half-assed pull-ups together.
There we are. Yeah, bare top, me and Jeremy in the garden every morning.
That's maybe what he's seen. He's seen you doing the pull-ups. He's come round to give you advice. We have a coffee. I need to talk you through the pull-ups. Technique.
That's
like Ned Flanders. He's absolutely ripped underneath that top.
Yeah. Do you know what? When he was asking at the door, Meg is upstairs in the bedroom laughing her head off. She's laughing her head off and he was asking me for a coffee date. Anyway, there you are. Maybe the next video you see will be me and Jeremy bare-topped Steve, and you can share that with the group.
And you'll be very religious.
That'd be brilliant if everyone you meet now just wants to critique your pull-up technique.
We haven't started talking about the press-ups yet either.
I'll do an updated video on that and I'll send it along. And in the meantime, I've got to go because I'm going to escape hunt. If I do like it, I'll be a significant holder this week in the company. All right.
And even if you don't.
Yeah. Speak you next week.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.